I want to welcome you to Vision Sunday. And if you do not know me, my name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this awesome church. Welcome all those who are watching in the 715. And there's just so much that we want to celebrate with you this morning as we talk about Vision Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit about what God has done. Hopefully you received one of these flyers when you came into the building today. And I want to start off this Vision Sunday by celebrating what God has done in 2024 in and through your ministry. Amen? Amen. Can we just go through some of these slides quickly here? I want to talk about last year, there was over 23 people who were baptized. 23 people who were baptized in Jesus' name. Can we give it up for that? That represents changed lives in Jesus' name. There was 5 people who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was 5 new small groups, life groups, that started last year. There were 80 people in our life groups. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Last year, there was a women's event. This is the second year that we've held it, and there were 65 women from all over the area, the 715, who came and converged on that women's conference, and I'm excited about what has happened in the women's ministry of this church. Last summer, we had three family nights throughout the summer, and we're going to do that again this summer. And boy, it just brought about a spirit of community in the church, and that was something that was very exciting. We had 18 people who completed the growth track. I'll be talking about more about the 18 people who completed the growth track and got into the ministry of this church. That's what's really cool. We had one serve team appreciation night. How many of you were at appreciation night last year? Man, that was a lot of fun. We want you to know it is on the calendar. And if you are on the serve team of this church, only you are invited on March 7th. Get that on your calendar. Serve team appreciation night is just around the corner. We had some people who gave above and beyond to impact, to help us with the landscaping of our building. Doesn't it look nice from the outside of this building? There's people who gave towards that. Thank you very much for your contribution. We had some sidewalk issues, and so we just completely took that out and put in new sidewalks because of your faithfulness. We had a gymnasium renovation. Where is the Nehemiah team? The Nehemiah team, we have a group of men and women who are on the Nehemiah team who have just taken ownership of just taking care of the maintenance of the church and completely renovated the gymnasium. Thank you very much, Nehemiah team. Can we give it up for them? We had problems with our parking lot, so we had to do some resealing and relining in the parking lot. Because of your investment into the church and impact, we were able to do that. We have an awesome Celebrate Recovery program here at this church, led by Chuck Oleg. Where's Chuck at? Wave your hand, Chuck. Yeah, Chuck in the back over here. And yes, absolutely, give it up for that. People who are dealing with strongholds and addictions, and his team is making it happen. We appreciate this. This is a team that meets every Monday night at 5:30. They serve a meal, and then they get right into ministry. So we encourage you, if you would like to take part in that. We had 200 people served through our food pantry. We had 387 bags of food that were given out. We had 50 families that you impacted through the Giving Tree at Christmas time, and we had 402 prayer requests that were submitted, people that we were able to pray for. Can we just give it up for God with that? We're not done. Because of your investment, we were able to help kids and families send their kids to camp. We had 17 kids go to kids camp. 27 students went to youth camp. We had 16 students who went to youth convention. We had 3 students who communicated, I sense that I have a calling into the full-time ministry. Thrive Youth gave over $4,000 to their ministry, their impact giving called Speed to Light. We had the children's ministry. They gave over 50 shoeboxes given to Operation Christmas Child to bless families and children all around the world and third world countries. And also, I'm very excited about this. We were able to launch a young adults ministry. Can we just give it up for what God has done? If you are a young adult, you consider yourself a young adult, go to our Connection Center and say, hey, how can I get more information to get connected with your young adult ministry? We talk about impact here. There was 150 Bibles given out to inmates at the Marathon County Jail because of your giving to impact. We had 1,200 people who attended the extravaganza. The extravaganza, that is the Easter egg hunt, the craziness that happens here, the Easter egg hunt, the Saturday before Christmas, 1,200 people. Thrive Church last year, and I'm going to talk about more about impact in February, but last year, Thrive Church gave over $143,000 towards impact. You can give a shout out to God for that. There was 13 people who went on a missions trip to El Salvador, and because of your impact giving, we were able to give $4,000 to help with the building renovation or construction that was happening to a men's recovery center in El Salvador because of your giving. And this was one of my favorites here. We did a one-day offering for the one-day challenge to impact students to be able to be fed so they can go to school. You impacted 185 students who you have fed for an entire school year, 185. That's bigger than Michelle's. She's a school teacher at an elementary school. There's more students than attend that school. An entire school you were able to feed because we raised over $21,000. Give yourselves a hand. This is the church. We are the church. Just look at your neighbor and just say, I am the church. I am the church. And now look at the other neighbor and say, I like your church. I like your church. We look forward. Now we look forward to what we believe God has for us in 2025. Everybody say, I believe. I believe God has way more in store for this church in the impact of the 715 area code. Here's our vision statement. I said it earlier when I was talking to Dan. We envision, just when you say that, we envision, everybody just kind of squint your eyes. Sometimes you can, how many of you remember those posters way back in the 80s maybe or something? You had to squint your eyes to see the picture, you know? Like, oh, now I see the dolphins coming out of the water. I want you to squint your eyes and envision Thrive Church, a life-giving church, a life-giving church that's making an impact, impacting the next generation. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But the next generation of the 715 area code, I believe it's just more than Wausau. God wants to use this church to impact a generation. I want to talk this morning about what is a life-giving church, and I'll tell you what a life-giving church is not. I've talked about this before. A life-giving church is not a life-taking church. I don't know if you've ever been to church before, but you go to church, and it's like, it just seems like they always want something from me. And like, I'm just, and then there's I call it a life-sucking church, or a life-sucking friend that you've been around. It's like they get in it, and they just suck the life out of me. I hope, I pray. That never happens at this church. There's a life-keeping church. And a life-keeping church is a church that's like, hey, I got this light. I got Jesus. And they go into defensive mode. And I'm just going to keep this Jesus to myself. You get your Jesus. I got my Jesus. And play it safe. No. We're a life-giving church. Look at your neighbor and say, in case you didn't know, we're a life-giving church. Thrive Church is a life-giving church. Jesus said that he came to give us life. Everybody say life. Come to give you life. Jesus, the ultimate life giver, came to give us life. I love the story of the Acts 2 church. To me, they demonstrate this was the very first church that started. After it says in Acts 1:8, talks about that they were filled, or in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and something just lit up, and these people got saved, and they got all in. They went all in for Jesus, and they formed this church. It said over 3,000 people. Let me just read a description of what this church looked like. Acts chapter 2, 42. It said, all of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So they devoted themselves. A life-giving church devotes themselves to spiritual growth. Let me continue. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Because a life-giving church believes. They believe in the power of God, that God is able to do more than we can think or even imagine. It's a church that believes in miracles and signs and wonders. Verse 44, it says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And you know what I just read here? Everyone got involved. Everyone. The church is about everyone getting involved. When you just look at your other neighbor and say, he's talking about you. The pastor's talking about you. Wake up. He's talking about you. Everyone. And this is my favorite part. And as a result, everybody say, as a result, each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We around here, we call that life change. Because when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it changes you. Anybody here experience that life change? You know what I'm talking about. When you raise your hand loud and proud, life change. How many, what you're doing is you're witnessing, yes, he changed my life. And he's still changing it. He's still working on me. Life change. And so I believe that we're called to be a life-giving church. And so to help you remember what a life-giving church is, and I don't use this that often, but I use this acrostic here, the acrostic for life. I want to talk about here today. What is a life-giving church? So first of all, I would say a life-giving church is a church that loves God and loves people. Because you can't help, if you love God, you can't help but love people. Because our God is in the people business. And they devoted themselves, check this out, they devoted themselves to healthy relationships. That's the key point here. Loving God and loving people is all about relationships. We serve a relational God. And they simply, you know how they did it? You know how they loved God and they loved people? They simply followed Jesus's greatest commandment. If you've never heard this before, they asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? What of all the things that I could do, basically, they're saying, Jesus, of anything that I can do, what's the greatest thing that I can do? And Jesus says, thank you for asking. That's a very good question. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. He says, this is the greatest thing that you can do. But I'm going to add to it. I'm going to add on to it. Oh, by the way. Everybody say, oh, by the way. Oh, by the way. If you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to be able to help but to love others as you love yourself. So just include that in there. That's part of it. Don't just love me. You can't just love God with everything and not love people. It's just not possible. And so what they did is they devoted themselves to healthy relationships. I want you to know your greatest responsibility is to continue to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. And the best way that you do that is by getting into the Word every single day. By the way, when you came in today, you received the notes and you received this thing called SOAP. And what this is a Bible reading plan to help you. Maybe you're just new to reading the Bible. We recognize you and we want to help you to just like, and you can just check it off each and every day. I'm just going to get into the Word of God. And some of you are like, I've never read the Bible before. I don't know. It's a life-changing book. And the way that they strengthen their faith they got into the book. They got into the Bible. But not only daily time in the Word, but daily time in prayer, connecting with Jesus. One of the most powerful things that you can do is just start talking to Jesus. Amen. One of the most powerful prayers you can pray is, God, I need you. And then you fill in the blank. God, I need you. And some of you just need to start inviting Jesus into your day. But not a, so daily Word, daily prayer, and then weekly worship. Everybody say weekly worship. What we just did this morning, what we're doing right now is weekly worship. How many of you would raise your hand and say, you know, that weekly worship is helping me. Weekly worship. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that testimony. But I just challenge you, don't live your faith off of just weekly worship. You're not going to grow off of weekly worship. Okay? You're just sitting on the bench. Don't stay in weekly worship. You need the daily time in the Word of God and in prayer. But so we talked about relationship with God. It's your responsibility. But number two, your relationship with each other. Here's what I believe with all my heart. Your relationship with God directly affects your relationship with others. It has a direct effect. I have seen, there's been seasons in my life when I'm not tight with God, I just seem to have more conflict with others. And it just seems like the closer I get to God, there is a love that He fills me with, that He gives me the ability to love people who are not so lovable. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but all of a sudden I just sense a love growing up inside of me. And as you grow in your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you about your relationship with others. And I'm going to tell you this. This could be a whole sermon, but I just really felt the Lord lay this on my heart as we talked about relationships. One of the most important things you can do for yourself this year in your relationship with others, if you get anything out of this message, get this point. Most important thing that you can do for your relationship with others is to forgive. There's some of you, you need to forgive somebody. There's somebody that, right now, they're in your mind, like, oh, if only you knew what they did. I know it. But you're always going to struggle in your faith journey until you learn to forgive. And there's some of you are here today, and you need to forgive yourself. For whatever you did, I know. And you know where this is all going to come from is when you go to God and you say, God, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? For some of you, if you did this year, it will change your life. I'm going to challenge you. For some of you who have been holding on to bitterness for so long, one of the most powerful things that you can do is forgive. Colossians 3:13, it says, make allowance for each other's faults. And check this out. And forgive anyone who offends you. And then he throws in, oh yeah, by the way, just remember that God forgave you. And if you expect your forgiveness from God, which each and every one of us needs so desperately, you're going to have to learn to forgive others. You cannot live off of the forgiveness of God and not forgive others. It doesn't work that way. The second thing a life-giving church is, we're going to love God and we're going to love people. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to influence our world. We're going to influence our world. I want you to look at what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. I got an illustration here, okay? He says, you are the light of the world. Isn't this the coolest flashlight? I don't know where I found this thing, but I love this thing. I'm carrying my backpack. If you ever see me with my backpack on, you need a light. I got a light. That's what Jesus says about you. You are the light of the world. It says, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a light. He's like, who would light a light and then cover it up. You don't do that with a light. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And he says, in the same way, talk about this little light here. In the same way, let the light that's in you, that Jesus has placed in you, he says, let it shine. Let it shine for the whole world to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Live your life so that people, when they look at you, they say, there's something different about you. And you just inside your mind, you're like, I know, it's the light. It's the light. Yeah. You see, light was created by God to cause impact. Now, I'm not going to do this right now, but if I tell these guys to turn off the lights in this room, you know, my light would impact you. It would be like, get that thing out of my eyes. I'm impacting some of you right now. It's impact. That's why God created light. And our mission here, our mission statement of this church is to lead people. Now, the word lead means to influence. I'm going to influence, to lead people to become life-giving followers of Jesus. Where did I get that mission statement? Stole it out of the Bible, out of the Great Commission. I just worded it up a little bit. That's our mission. I want you to know, if you're a Jesus follower, you have a purpose. You have a mission in life to lead people to become life-giving followers of Jesus. And I want you to realize this, whether you realize this or not, if you are alive and breathing, I want you to know you're influencing people. You have influence. My question is, are you influencing up? Are you influencing down? Are you influencing people when you live your life? Are you influencing people to just look at the world around you? Are you living your life in a way saying, I'm telling you, this Jesus guy, you got to look up. I'm telling you, you got to look up. Which way are you influencing your world? Is your influence on people inspiring them to become more like the world or like Jesus? Because you have been created to influence the people in your world with the life-changing message of Jesus. And you're called to be conduit. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a conduit. I'm a conduit. A conduit is kind of like this pipe here, right? Right. It's like that little pipe, you can see through it. That's what conduit is. And when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he put a light of the Holy Spirit, put it inside of you. And the light shines through, right? The light shines through the conduit. So he wants to do a great work in you so he can do a great work through you. And the most foolish thing that we can do with his light is to cover it up. He said, don't do that. No, don't do. Why do you do that? Why do you hide what's going on inside of you? What I put inside you? Why do you hide it? No. Built for impact, right? Called to impact the world around you. Conduit. Say it one more time. Conduit. And you know what we're doing? We're called to influence the people around us. I knew that was going to happen. Influence the people around us. And I have this graph up here. I want to talk about. This is what I think. This is what it looks like. And I've seen this happen to so many people. I see people who maybe come into this church, and at the top little circle, we call them the nuns. This is where people are at in their faith journey. And if you've been to our growth track, you've learned about this already. But there's people, and maybe some of you were in that place. Maybe you're here today, and you're like, listen, everything that you're talking about, Pastor, I'm not going to lie, I want none to do with this. All right, none. I want none to do this. And the only reason why I'm here is because my wife makes me come. I want none to do with this. How many of you know people who want none to do with this? None. I want none. All right, that's okay. That's where they're at in their faith journey. And then something happens. They got some people who come in and they start shining their light on Jesus and they become curious. And all of a sudden they go into that next mode, become seekers. Seekers. How many of you remember those seeker days? Like, I'm curious. All right, you got me. I'm kind of curious. I'm looking for something. I'm not sure what I'm looking for, but I'm kind of looking. I'm searching. I'm looking for answers. And then one day, this is my favorite day, that one day, you chose to believe. You accepted Jesus. You had that pastor say, hey, pray this prayer. And I prayed that prayer, and I started to believe. I'm not sure everything that I believe, but I just chose to believe. And then I started to do all that thing that pastor kept talking about. And I got into a life group. I started reading the Bible. And all of a sudden, I started growing. How many of you remember those growing days? I started to grow in my faith. And it just came alive. Those are exciting days. But here, let me just say this real quick. One of the most dangerous places for the church to hang out, to stay in, is in that place of growing. And here's why I say that. Because we all love to grow. And what can happen in a church is like, man, I love to come to church on Sunday mornings. I love to read my Bible. I love to go to life groups. I just don't like all that other stuff. I just like to come and take it in. And Jesus, no. I put that light in you for you to shine, to do something with it. I've called for you to be a life-giving follower of Jesus Christ. So don't just hang out in the land of growing. Do something with what God has done in your life. You're called to be a life-giving follower of Jesus in a dark world. And you know what life-giving followers of Jesus do? They start connecting with the nuns. They start, I don't know, talking to the seekers, just building relationship with seekers. They help people get to that place of believing. Life-giving followers of Jesus, they help lead people to become life-giving followers of Jesus, who help lead people to become life-giving followers of Jesus, who help other people to become life-giving followers of Jesus. Does everybody get the mission here? That's our mission. And I'm just a conduit that the Holy Spirit works through. Here's some intentional ways quickly here to become a person of influence. First of all, I want to challenge you to look for opportunities. Look for influence opportunities by connecting with people who don't know Jesus. Whatever you do, don't allow your faith to go into defensive mode. Don't hide from the world the light that is inside of you. The second thing that you need to do now that you start connecting with people who don't know Jesus, that the most important thing you can do is begin to pray for them. Pray for them. I challenge you to put together a top five list. A top five list. In other words, Lord, just give me five names that you're going to use me to influence five people this year. And then you take these people and like, okay, this number one person, I pray for them on Monday. Number two is on Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to pray for five people. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to begin to pray for them. I just challenge you, church, come up with your top five. Your top five. And then what happened to you, I got to warn you now. You go to this next step, and you begin to pray for opportunities. God's going to start giving you opportunities. Look for the opportunities. God's going to say, hey, he's going to like, now that person's on your top five list. And God's just giving you an opportunity. Tell them. And you're like, okay, what do I tell them? One of the most powerful things that you can do is tell them your story. For those who have gone through Growth Track, we talked about this. So just go ahead and review your notes in the Growth Track journal that we gave to you. Tell them the story. Tell them what Jesus has done in life. Tell them this was my life before Jesus. And then one day I made a decision to follow Jesus. And this is my life ever since I've started to follow Jesus. Tell them your story. That's the most compelling thing that you did. Tell them your story. And then the last thing I would do is I would challenge you to walk your talk. Because you start telling people about Jesus, now you need to start walking it out. And I'm going to tell you this, there ain't nobody who's perfect in this room. So there's nobody who's perfect. But if you're going to start telling people about Jesus, you need to represent Jesus as best as you can. The best way to represent him is to get to know him and to live him. And I know this is all to be true. There's a gentleman that, I told you before, I'm a chaplain with the Walsall Fire Department. There's a gentleman who I got on my top five list. And one day we were sitting in the station, and there was a Jesus follower that I was talking to, and another person came in, somebody I highly respect. And they're like, oh, yeah, I agree with that too. I'm like, oh, really? What church you go to? Well, I really don't go to church. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you read your Bible? No, I really don't read your Bible. but I believe in God. I'm like, well, how do you know? Like, how do I know what? Well, how do you know what you believe if you don't read your Bible? How do you know? How do you know it could not all be true? And I challenged him. I said, can I just challenge you? Like, if you get to know this Jesus guy, a lot of things are going to start falling into place. And so I challenged him, like, just slowly read through the book of John. Take one day and read it. And who knows where that's going to go? He gets back with me a couple weeks later. Hey, I took your challenge. Whoa, sweet. I'm like, yeah, I get it. A couple weeks later, hey, I'm like in the book of Acts. Just recently, met up with him. I don't always see him every time I go in. Hey, I'm in like Philemon. And he says, when you challenged me, it was at one of the worst moments of my life. I was thinking about giving up my career. Just giving it all up. It was at a very challenging moment. And you challenged me. And I started to read my Bible. And all of a sudden, things began to make sense. And I soon began to understand it. And something, I can't describe it, something began to change in me, my attitude, everything. And he says, and that all of a sudden, doors that were so closed have now opened up. I can't tell you, if I told you what position just opened up for him, you might know who it is, so I'm not going to do that. But a position opened up for him. Something happened in his home, in his marriage, all these things. And Jesus talks about that. Seek me first, and then all these things are added unto you. I'm telling you, it works. I would tell you this quickly here, to be a person of influence, go on a mission trip. We are praying about going to the country of Moldova. If that is something that comes to interest, February 16th, we'll have a special meeting to go to Moldova. Give to impact. Give to impact. Let me talk more about here. Get into this message. The third thing I would tell you to do, a life-giving church, live the faith-filled life. They were so faith-filled that they began to ask, believe, and see miracles. I want you to know, if you're new to this church, we believe, we are a church that believes that miracles and signs and wonders happen today. In fact, we pray for that every single Sunday, that there would be miracles that would happen. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Our word for this year is believe. And this year, I'm asking God to help my unbelief. I want to believe God for more. I believe that God has so much more in store for us. I just need to ask, and I need to believe. And I want to challenge you this year that you would begin to ask and believe like never before. Our verse is Mark 9:23. Anything is possible if a person believes. I want to challenge you this year to go deeper in your faith, in your belief. I want to challenge you to go deeper in your pursuit of God. Go after God like never before. And don't make excuses. Can I challenge you in this one area? Will you begin to look into the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We'll talk about that here later on, but I want to challenge you. Become acquainted. What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? God wants to fill you to overflowing. He's already filled you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to be overflowing in your life. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pursue the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then what's going to happen is I want to challenge you to go deeper in your boldness. Go deeper with bolder prayers. Begin to ask God, like, God, I'm going to ask you for something impossible. But God, it's got to happen. God, I want to see this. Go deeper in your boldness. And then this is a tough one. When you start praying deeper prayers like this, you need to go deeper in your obedience. Because when you go deeper with God, he's going to start to speak to you. And I want you to know God's love language is obedience. And he's going to challenge you. Go deeper. But when he challenges you back and say, okay, you want to see this happen? This is what I want you to do. But God, that doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense. Miracles and signs and wonders, they don't make sense. Will you just be obedient? Will you just obey me? All right, quickly here. E stands for everyone. Everybody say everyone. Everyone. I just want us to hold everyone accountable in this room. Those who are watching online, everyone is invested. An investor is somebody who gives something of value with the belief there's going to be a great return. So many of you, we talked about everything that would happen through impact. Again, we're going to talk about that in February. But you gave above and beyond because you believed that God was going to do something through it. And you believed. You invested. You invested in the kingdom of God. Jesus was the greatest investor of all time. Look at this. Again, I talk about this in Acts 2:44. I just shorten it up. And it says, all of the believers, they did all these things. All, everyone, the whole church, not just a few people, not just the pastoral staff, not just the ministry leaders, but everyone. I want to hold you accountable. Everyone. All the believers invested themselves into this mission of life changing. Let me ask you this question. What are you doing with what you've been given? What are you doing with what you've been given? What does this look like? I've talked about this many times, but I want you to put on your vision eyes here one more time. I want you to know if you are a Jesus follower in this place today, you are a minister. I'm not talking about a pastor. Some of you are pastors working towards credentials. But a minister is someone who serves the needs of someone else. You minister to people. And every one of you, if you are a Jesus follower today, whether you realize it or not, you are a minister. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a minister. The second thing that you are is you are a missionary. You got a dual role here. You're a missionary. A missionary is someone who goes and shares Jesus with someone else. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm a missionary. I want to challenge you, if you are here today, don't sit on the bench. There was a game that happened, an NFL game that happened here. A guy on the 49ers, I don't remember his name. The guy in the third quarter, about to go, a defensive player about to go out on the field, he literally went up to Coach, Coach, I don't feel like going out anymore, so I'm going to go in the locker room. I don't feel like it. Wasn't sick, wasn't injured. He just didn't feel like it. Can I just challenge the church? Can I challenge Thrive Church? Can I challenge, if you are a member of this church, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. He was cut the next day. Here's how to get invested at Thrive Church. Here's what it looks like if you're new to this church. First of all, you take the growth track. That's our discipleship program here at the church, and it's just you go to one class, and then we kind of give you homework to do from there. How many of you have taken the growth track? If you are a growth track graduate, raise your hand. Growth track graduates, see, all around this room taking the growth track, and you just learn the mission and vision and the values of this church, but you learn a whole lot of other things. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to discover your spiritual gifts in the growth track. Each and every one of you, I want you to know, has a spiritual gifting from God. It's a gift. And I got my wallet here, and I got my spending money. I get spending money. Thank you, Jesus. And the spending money has been in my wallet here for a little while. Okay, in the month of January, we kind of cut back on the spending. But I got something of value here. And I could go out and make an impact with what's in my wallet here, right? It's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's all His. But I just ask you the question, what good does it do if it just stays in the wallet? What impact does it do? I want you to know you have a wallet that God has filled your life with giftings. And I ask you, what good does your gifting if you just keep it to yourself? Where's the impact in that? And so discover your gifts and then go and use them. And then at number three, get on the serve team. And that is the team, the ministry people that make the ministry of this church happen. And then invest yourself into others. When you get on the serve team, here's our expectation. that you would give excellent service for every experience. You get on the serve team of Thrive Church, and you say, okay, what's expected? If you get on our serve team, we expect you to serve with excellence. Serve people. Because when you serve people with excellence, you're really, that is worship to God. So get on the team and serve the next. So we're going to impact vision here, quickly here. We're going to impact the next generation. And when I say we're going to impact the next generation, that is the group of people that are younger than you. And where I get this idea is when you look at Psalm 78, I don't have time to pick this apart, but what happens in Psalm 78, there's a warning. There's a warning, and there's a warning that is going out to every one of us. The warning is there is a generation that is growing up without any knowledge of God. And as Psalm 78 talks about, don't let that happen. You need to invest in this next generation. It uses that phrase, next generation. Teach them, invest and build relationships with the next generation. And so I just challenge the church, whoever, find people in this church who are younger than you and invest in them. Be an investor. John, I'll close with this. John Wooden, the all-time leading coach for the men's basketball team in UCLA, won multiple national championships. He said this. He says, the score will take care of itself when you take care of the effort that precedes the score. Let me say it one more time. The score will take care of itself when you take care of the effort that precedes the score. So in other words, say, listen, like, what do you, Pastor, what do you want me to do? My challenge, the vision for this year is that we would be the life-giving church that God has called us to be. That we would say, listen, I'm going to commit this year to love God, and through that, I'm going to love people. This year, I am going to be an influencer to the world around me. This year, I'm going to be faith-filled. I'm going to ask God for miracles and anointing and blessing. I'm just going to ask for God. I'm getting invested. Everyone gets invested. And I believe this principle. When we the church begins to do those things, it's just like the Acts 2 church. People started getting saved. Life change began to happen. So we're not going to worry about the score. We're going to let the score, we're going to do our part, and the score will take care of itself. So in closing, what are we asking God for in 2025? We're asking for God to double the baptisms. Baptisms is if you've not been baptized before, really what it is you are communicating to the whole world, I'm all in. That's what we want to see, like, I know you accepted Jesus, but are you all in? You know, there's a couple moments in our faith journey. There's the moment that we give our heart to Jesus, and then there's that moment we give our lives to Jesus. Baptism said, I give my life to Jesus. So we want to see that double, 50 baptism. We want to see what happens when we have all those baptism. People are going to need to be discipled, and our discipleship process is through life groups. We want to see that raised to 25 life groups in the church this year. We want to see 10 ministry credential holders. Well, I know that there are some of you out there right now who are pursuing your minister credentials with the Assemblies of God. You know who you are. Some of you have been kind of hanging out for just a little while and taking your time. I want to challenge you this year. Get those things done. And the reason why this is so important, you started it because God told you to do it. I want to challenge you in your obedience and finish that. We're going to pray for $200,000 for impact next year, and I'm going to talk about that later. And then we're going to pray for a lobby renovation. I don't feel like I have a lot of time. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, guys. But one of the most life-giving places in this building is the lobby. And this lobby has not been touched in over 30 years, besides the carpet. I don't know if you've ever noticed that you come into this building, those who come all the time, how many of you notice you come in wintertime? It's always cold. I don't know how many ladies who have walked into the women's restroom and you're like, it's cold. We have a heating problem that broke down a while ago and we thought we had a fix. It's not a fix. It needs to be addressed. We got front doors who are older than a lot of you in this room. It needs to be addressed. We're going to look into that. I'm just telling you, we're looking into that right now. There needs to be a renovation. We'll talk more about that in the future of what that looks like. And then last of all, again, the score takes care of itself. You know, I'm asking God for two services. Not because we want to, but because we need to. Because each of these empty chairs in this room is somebody who's not a Jesus follower. And I don't want to see people come in from other churches unless you're going to say, hey, I want to get on this team. That's not what we're looking to. We're not looking for transfer growth. We're looking for life change growth. And I'm asking God, fill this room twice. Fill this room. We have a balcony, but fill it twice with people who are seeking after God. So this is a vision. It's a call to action for the church. To be the church. To be a life-giving church. To be a life-giving church that is impacting the next generation of the 715. Amen? Amen. Can we just pray for that in Jesus' name, Lord? Life change. Life change in Jesus' name. I just pray right now that you would speak to your church. God, that we would no longer be content to be a church, but we would be the life-giving church you called us for. And this is for individuals, everyone. That we would, Lord, that you would work in us and through us. We would be the conduit to impact the 715 for Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're a seeker or maybe even a nun. And today I want to be a believer. I want to go to that next step in my faith journey. I don't know where you're at, but you can take that step by just asking him, can you just do that with me? If that's you, just say, God, I need you. I humble myself before you. I repent. Forgive me of my sins. I don't understand all that it means, but I want to be a follower of Jesus. Come into my heart. I choose today to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.